Welcome, listeners, to a very special detour on our Let Me Take You Higher podcast, where today's story isn't about nations clashing or tanks rolling. It's about a battle so strange, even the history books can barely keep up a straight face. Picture this. It's 1932. Australia's wheat farmers are facing a crisis. But instead of facing their problems with plows and fences, the government decides to deploy the military, armed with machine guns against birds. Yes, you heard that right. The Great Emu War is in fact a real thing. Now, you might think a war against giant flightless birds would be an easy win for the military, but spoiler alert, it wasn't. The emus won, and they won decisively. So what happens when a nation goes to war with nature and nature wins? What does this absurd chapter in history teach us about human arrogance, desperation, and perhaps our inability to outsmart a creature with no more than a few feathers and instinct for survival? Today, we're joined by Daniel, faster than you are, our expert from Australia, who will take us deep into this bizarre conflict. And, of course, my co-pilot in chaos, Gigi Luigi, will keep us flying smoothly through the madness. Buckle up, because this is going to be one hell of a ride, but with feathers.
Nature and the birds of the game. Daniel sang aloud with pride in his voice. Let's cheer for the emus, Australia's choice. The battle is over, but the legend lives on. A tale of defeat where the feathers won strong. Flap, flap, run away, emus leading all the way. Flap, flap, dodge and weave, can't believe what they achieved. Flap, flap, wild and free, the greatest war in history. The Great Emu War keeps us laughing tonight. Flap, flap, dodge and weave. Oh, emus, we salute your reprieve.
So that's what we've got. All right, guys. So today, and well, first I should introduce everybody. So welcome back to Let Me Take You Higher podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Mr. Villain. We have in studio today, Daniel, faster than you. He's our lead Australian on some of the topics we're going to talk about today. And of course, as always, we have Gigi Luigi. Gigi, are you there?
Nope. No, I'm just kidding. Here I am.
Now, fair enough, guys. Now, Gigi and Daniel have both walked on Australian grounds. I have not. But I feel like with these two, we're going to figure out one of the hardest things that ever hit Australia, and that are emus. So
I was actually going to ask you about that, if you're going to call them emus or...
Okay. You know better than I do, Daniel. What do you guys call those famous birds?
Emu.
Emu.
Emu? Yeah,
it's emu.
Emu?
Okay.
It sounds like when it
sounds like you're saying emu.
When I'm listening to you say it, I hear an A, but then when I can't, I don't know. What is it? Say it again one more time.
Emu.
Emu. Okay, so we're going to call them emus. That's good. Not everybody knows the proper pronunciation of the emu. I kind of felt like how you were doing it, so I know. But let's enter this. Let's just go with our guns flaring. So in the higher point today, guys, we're talking about a wild detour today. Literally, imagine a war, not between nations, but against birds. Yes, you heard that right. Giant flightless birds. It's the 1930s Australia. It's desperation setting in, and the great emu war begins. Spoiler alert, the emus won. So, and I know that nobody on the phone or on the podcast today knows anything about this war that happened so long ago, but do they talk about this still over there, Daniel? And did they say anything about this war with birds?
I haven't heard anything mentioned about it in my lifetime.
Really? It's like, so it's a real war that the Australian government had with the emu birds who were taking over the farmers' lands. And we're not talking a few, you know, fucked up cousins of some fucking geese. We're talking about full-fledged, and emus are huge. They're like 15 feet. How tall are emus?
They're 6 feet. They're like ostriches, man.
Okay, ostriches. Okay. We got these huge cousins of ostriches running around, picking at kids, eating corn, fucking up farmers. I mean, it's like a whole cavalcade of craziness. So I know you don't know offhand, but we're going to tell you the situation, but you got to have an official Australian on the phone. We're talking about emus. So Gigi, what about these? What about these emus? Have you heard about this war you told me about in passing?
I'll tell you what. I heard about the war, and I pretty much was told to stay the hell away from them things. And if I'm at a zoo or anything, and they're correct. I apologize if I messed this up. Emu. Okay. I think
very
I messed
good.
It up.
Very good.
Awesome. Very good. Okay. So I'm sucking it up for
everybody. I stay like 6 feet away from them fucking things. They're like, well, I mean, like, yeah, they're 6 foot. So like, but they're just beasts, man. Like they'll tear you up. Yeah. With their beaks and everything. Oh my God.
I feel like I should do more research on this because I'm just thinking.
You know Canadian geese, right?
I've heard of Canadian geese. Yeah.
You know how like they got those attitudes that, you know, everyone says about
them? Like New Yorkers. So like they're a whole bunch of New Yorkers.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're about the same size too. 6 foot.
Oh shit. Yeah.
These are little ankle biters. They're Chihuahua emu.
So. Okay. So this is a serious thing.
Yeah.
So with this, okay. So let's rewind this back. What can we learn from this story, guys? So you guys had a feather brain invasion of 10,000 or more, they're saying, emu, and they were ravaging these farms around all of Australia, eating the farmers' food. Farmers were being run out of their farms by these birds, and they went to the government and said, hey, we're losing like a lot of farmland to these birds. These birds are eating all the corn and all the stuff, the crops. They talked the government of Australia and coming in with guns, like machine guns,
yeah,
like ripping them apart with machine guns and
Lewis guns.
What kind of guns are they?
Lewis guns. Lewis guns. Okay. Lewis guns. Guns from World War One. Machine guns that they used in World War One. Yep.
Okay. And what did they do? They just like they slaughtered these birds and what did
they? Yeah, well they had a crack. But what happened was the birds sort of split up. They thought they'd just be able to plug them. You know what I mean? Just go out there and shoot them. The birds were smarter. They split up and they started using guerrilla tactics.
Oh my freaking God! So you're saying these birds were doing guerrilla warfare like Chavez and Viva la, la no, I don't say Viva la Mexico, but because that's a whole different place. Gigi, you're a freaking ex-Marine. Can you break this down militarily? I mean, come on now.
I mean, they went out there. They had guns. They were about to go guns blazing. And yeah, as you said, like they kind of just like spread out. Like, I mean, it's not like the emus or like they weren't killing anybody. Like they just were gone. Like they just ended up wasting like a lot of ammo from what I understand. And after a couple of days of wasting ammo and not seeing too many results, they just kind of like, eh, F this, we're out.
So, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing to me. So what happens when a military declares war on a bird and it loses? So picture this. It's 1932. It's the Great Depression, and it's ravaging Australia and emus alike. So these flightless birds are decimating wheat fields in Western Australia. Instead of fences or farmers' ingenuity, the government says send in the troops armed with machine guns. The soldiers took aim, but nature had other plans. Think of it as Australia's very own Looney Tunes episode, but with higher stakes and even more feathers. So it's kind of like, you know, we just elected a president over here. His name is Donald Trump. I'm not sure if you guys know him over there in Australia.
Yes, we do.
It sounds like a Donald Trump move. I mean, I don't mean to be political, but I'm really waiting for emus to attack America. So we can see if it's a Donald Trump move, but with it's all that aside,
it's going to be the Canadian geese. I'm telling you,
Canadian. So, okay, Gigi, you've talked about these Canadian geese. What are we looking about here? Are these geese 6 feet with claws and fangs?
No. So, the emu is like a Great Dane. Like you know, like you see, it's like damn, that's a beast. You know what I'm saying?
That's a beast.
The Canadian goose is a. What the Canadian geese are, they're like chihuahuas, like they're ankle biters, but they will.
Chihuahuas.
Yeah, you say that until they're chewing on you and they won't shut up. And they're like running at you. And you want to kick them. And then there's like 7 or 8 of them at the same time. And it's just, it's never fun. They'll square up with your car. Like we've had them sitting in the road and we like stop trying to honk at them. They'll be like, all right, get out.
So here's the thing. We all know that during, World War II, not really World War I, but Hitler used PCP and meth to create the super soldiers and just make them run. Correct. Do you think, Daniel, that these emus were on meth?
That would be amazing if they were.
No, they weren't.
I mean, I want to boil it down. Like, there's no way these birds could be that crazy unless they're on some kind of drugs.
They're just now because of the vast amount of area they have to cover between water holes and things like that. I think that's got to do with their size, you know, their survival need, their evolution, so to speak. And the other thing, with them is they can't take a backward step because the way their knees are back to front. Like the two animals on our coat of arms, the kangaroo and the emu, they can't take a backward step. I think that's why they were put on our coat of arms. For Australia, I think it's so they can cover fast distances quickly, and they're fast. They run at 40 miles.
They run really quick. So,
yeah.
So you have a beast running after you that the only way you could trip it up is by running the other way, but backwards.
Possibly, man. I reckon if you had one of them after you, you'd want to get the fuck out.
Well, I mean, you just said it. You pretty much defused the whole war after the fact. Just run backwards, right? Can't we just do that?
It's gonna be like a bull, man. You gotta like use like the freaking cloth and get behind it and then run away.
The thing that you said,
I mean, how would you take down a kangaroo in a pool of water? You fuck around and find out. No, I'm just kidding. But how would you do it?
That's the saying we use here. what you're saying. What you were saying about with like the men hunting, there was only a couple of soldiers. There was a couple of soldiers were given guns, sent out there. right? Here's a shit ton of rounds, like 10,000 rounds. Go for it.
Yep.
Right. And they started shooting. No dice, right? They just scattered. Oh. And then they formed the guerrilla tactics to come back at them, to sort of bait them and stuff. And they tried chasing them in trucks and they couldn't run them down. The emus just ran away. They just ran away from them. So they're fast and they're smart.
I think Australia, Gigi, you were an ex-Marine. You know, I always say it, but where would you rank Australia's military in the grander scheme of militaries on the planet? They're at least number six, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say they're up there. I mean, I forgot what the guns you guys have. It's the AUG, right?
Yeah, the AUGER.
Yeah, the AUGER. No, awesome. We trained right beside them. Their tactics, it makes sense. It's very similar to ours. I'm sure that, you know.
Well, our SAS is pretty damn tough.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, definitely.
And you mean to tell me nobody thought to run backwards?
This is nearly 100 years ago, man.
Well, I know. I guess you're putting it into perspective.
I'd say the Marines probably would have lost too, because we couldn't have figured out running backwards. You kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, we still can. Fucking A. But the origin, the historical context, guys, of this is the Great Emu War wasn't just about birds. It was about desperation. Farmers were struggling after World War I, and wheat crops were failing. To make things worse, emus were migrating in search of food. They descended on farmland like an unstoppable feathered plague, because guess what? On farmland, you're going to find a lot of food that emus eat. The Australian government stepped in with the military solution. Two soldiers armed with Lewis guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition were sent to eradicate the problem. But what followed was a series of missteps, probably not going backwards, including machine guns jamming, emus outrunning jeeps, and soldiers learning that these birds were not only fast, but surprisingly strategic. Our guest, Daniel, faster than you, I always say that, will help us dig deeper into this odd mix of comedy, tragedy, and just zaniness. Because guys, if you haven't heard this, these are birds. They're flightless. They can't fly. They're huge. They're heavy. They're like Great Danes. Their cousin from Canada, so we're hearing from Gigi, is like a Chihuahua, and they don't run backwards. So it's like, I don't know if we solved it. Hey, we could have solved it. I don't know.
Hey,
but Daniel, you told us some great things about this. Either. Do you guys still have a crazy emu like population out there?
Yeah, I dare say so. I dare say we do. I don't think they're as much of a pest as, like, we have camels, wild horses, kangaroos.
Okay, I like that.
We have a lot of different animals running around the outback that have, like, their populations have gone out of control.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some failed experiments. Like, we had a thing like called the cane bug that was eating all their sugar cane. So we introduced the cane toad to try and get rid of the cane bug, and that became a huge problem.
Wow.
Yeah. They're these massive toads that are poisonous that mostly live in Queensland.
I'm not being funny. I'm absolutely riveted. I'm riveted about the toads. But aren't you guys scared? Because you guys have all these emus that are just collecting, and nobody has a game plan. You don't think that's gonna be
I think we've got an uneasy truce with them. I think it's if you see them, leave them be.
For now, I heard that they're talking to North Korea though.
Yeah, you better be careful, bro. We got some
bang communication.
I don't even know. I mean, how intelligent are these bastards? No, but the emus themselves are the true stars of this war, guys. However, we can't forget Major GPW Meredith. Oh, wait, this sounds ominous. Who led the charge against the birds. His effort became an unintentional symbol of the absurdity of human arrogance against nature. Daniel, do Australians think of Meredith, or do they even know who he is?
No, as a tragic hero? No one knows who he is, man. Maybe people in, like, my grandparents or my parents' generation, possibly. But I mean, I've never heard anyone mention him.
He was supposedly the guy. Yeah, and that was perfect, right? Because clearly nobody in Australia even knows who Meredith is, which is even funnier because the guy didn't win the war against the birds. And if you've seen the movie The Birds, I could have told him some shit about the birds. Gigi, if you're attacking birds, what kind of knife or gun do you bring to a battle like that?
Shotgun.
Bro, I mean, but chicken wings, right?
Here's the, bears, those kind of birds. But here's the thing, though. Technically, the shotgun is outlawed. You're not allowed to use it more. So.
Are you serious?
So how do you navigate that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd just shoot them, and then I'd hide the gun. But I'm
a. I feel like a shotgun against that thing would be perfect, because if it runs up on you, being all goofy, boom.
Yeah, and these birds are goofy. I've seen a picture of I'm gonna try to say the word emu. Okay,
emu.
And they look goofy as fuck. I'm just going to say, it's like if you get a whole bunch of kids. You know how you get like those little ice cream trucks that says, beware of slow children? Emus are slow children, but they're birds. I mean, I don't get it, but it is what it is. So guys, on the counterpunch on this war showcased the resilience of the emus, reminding us of nature's capacity to outsmart humans. It became a story of the ages, proof that even the mightiest military isn't always a match for Mother Nature. So what are the cons on this? It was a colossal waste of resources during an already tough economic period, the Great Depression. Farmers didn't get the help they needed, and emus continued to thrive. So the devil's advocate, guys, on this is, shouldn't Australia have doubled down, maybe bring in the Tang's air support, or dare I say it, a diplomatic solution with the emus?
Nowadays, yeah, just rain hellfire, you know. But
bro, if I can't like be a diplomat, sure. I'm gonna blow your head off.
Sure, but I think the sensible option in all reality would have been to talk to the indigenous folk.
Yeah,
right? Talk to the indigenous folk in the area and say, look, how have they dealt with them over the centuries?
Yeah, because right? these birds are indigenous to Australia, are they not?
That's right. But that's right. But I mean, if they talk to the indigenous folk, talk to the Aboriginal population or the Aboriginal nations that actually lived in those areas and said, look, can we have some assistance and some sort of, you know, some support and ideas? Like, can you guys give us some strategies like on how to deal with this? I think that would have been really, really
sensitive. There's got to be like some paste or some kind of tree or grass that they don't like or something that they could have put like
little farms. There has to be something that the white fellas here didn't know about. Or you can go the other way. You can duck right? there and go in there and just fuck shit up.
When an emu is involved, it can go either way. They are averse. I'm just kidding. But with all that being said, perhaps the cautionary tale here, guys, is about trying over-exaggerating brute force in every problem. Why didn't we just sit at a table with the emus and try to talk them down? Maybe there was a plan there that we missed. Yeah. I mean, Daniel, I get it that Australians are talkers. I mean, they're pretty good talkers. You don't think that we could have done a diplomatic solution with this?
They would have fucking pecked your eyes out, man.
If you come with aggression, they're going to meet you with aggression. If
you get within 6 feet of those fuckers, man, no way.
they're tearing your ass up.
That's right. They're gonna rip you a new one.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay, well...
Yeah.
I don't know. But the deep dive on this, guys, is the legacy of the Great Emu War extends beyond the 1930s. It's a reminder that humans often underestimate the natural world. The emus, won because they adapted better than the soldiers did. A metaphor for survival in the modern era. Daniel, how has this event shaped Australia's relationship with the wildlife today? Do people still joke about it? I'm sure they don't. Or has it become a deeper commentary on environmental stewardship?
We respect our national, you know, our native species. We have a lot of affection for them, and we're very proud of them, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're quite proud of that.
You know, I kind of know that because you're like, I'm over here slurring the name, guys, to the audience. I'm slurring the name emu. And Daniel's like, no. Don't say it like that. Those fuckers are mean. Don't fuck us all up for it.
Yeah, don't be talking shit.
If I go to sleep tonight and I wake up with some fucking emus at my door.
No, I think we've got a great affection in this country for, like, you know, our native species and a great respect. We know strategies and tactics on how to deal with them these days. But like, we know to keep our distance. We know not to fuck around.
I mean, shit. I know to keep my distance. I don't even know these bastards. It seemed like a lot going on. Gigi, would you keep your distance? I mean,
absolutely. Are you kidding me? So I had one terrible experience with a kangaroo, and it luckily let me survive. Oh. Okay. And
was it a gripe?
So this is what happened. So I was training. It was like the very last night of training. So I went out into the woods to go to the bathroom, you know. And up in Darwin, like towards like the, I guess like the outskirts of the outback, it's kind of wetlands, you know. It's like it floods a lot. So there was like palm trees and shit. So like in the middle of the night, this I was walking through the woods to find a spot, you know, to take a shit. Yeah.
Okay. Number two.
And I look and I see the palm tree with the moon shining on it. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, this is awesome. I'm like, this is so serene. So I walk over to this tree and a fruit bat flies out of it. Literally almost scares me shitless. So yeah, I'm like, well, what
else you want?
Yeah, they're huge. And so I'm like, okay, well, they got that out of the way. What else is out here? So sitting there doing my business, and just like out of the movie Jurassic Park, like I felt like there was like that glass of water. And it was just like the thing kept like coming up. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I know something's coming. I just hear thump, thump, thump. And it literally just jumped and landed like probably within like 4 or 5 feet in front of me and just looked at me. And in my head, I'm like, oh man, there's like, I'm hoping he doesn't see me. And then I realized later on as I'm telling the story, I'm sitting in the moonlight. This motherfucker definitely sees me. So
he sees you.
Yeah, he sees me. And then he just kind of like looked away and just ran off. And I'm like,
see, what? and you didn't freak out. Like, you're in a very vulnerable position.
I was what scared. You do is you keep still and you lower yourself with them.
I was, like you sort of I was already
keep the eye contact and lower yourself. If you stand up to it and burr up, it's going to fuck you up. Yeah.
Now I was already fetal position. I was, you know,
fetal position. Squat.
Yeah, I was already in the squatting position. This thing already won. He looked at me and was like, yeah, fuck this thing.
That's a very vulnerable position to be in when you're taking a number two.
The
moonlight. How romantic. In the moonlight?
Oh, I know.
What kind of shitting are you doing?
Like, my command would have found me shit all over the place. My pants would have been torn up. I would have been like,
you maybe want to go watch like a relationship movie. Like,
in the moonlight. Ass cheeks out in the breeze. That would have been great.
He was becoming one with Australia's nature.
Was it a grey kangaroo? Do you know?
It was dark. I think it was because we saw
The grey kangaroos get to about 6 feet. The reds, they get about 7+.
Oh yeah. Shit!
The reds The reds are rarer, but I mean, I've actually done the same thing where I'm having a leak behind a tree, and I've turned, and it's like it's within arm's reach of me, and it's looking at me, and I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I'm like, hello there, big fella. I'm no threat to you.
Get the fuck out of there.
No. I just kept very still. I'm like, I'm no threat to you, mate. And I just sort of crouched down, and he sort of crouched down with me, and then he took off. And I'm like, yeah, that would have ended me.
Yeah, I would have fucked you up, bro. Would have fucking redecorate your face. It's horrible.
Never mind.
I just couldn't do it, man. But in conclusion, Gigi Luigi, let me ask you. And Danny, you can chime in on this too.
Sure.
The emus won that war. We can all decisively say that Australians got their ass kicked. And it's very rare. Australia is usually the people we count on to kick other people. Wait, what was the last war you guys were in?
Anyone that yous were in.
Yeah, but to say, I'm pretty sure they're not
Afghanistan. And we lost all. It wasn't Australia's fault. We have pretty bad leadership.
We're allies to you guys. So
yeah, you think I'd be talking to you in the podcast?
Of course.
Allies?
Of course. Oh, it's like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No, sir. No, but that's an awesome story. Gigi, do you have anything for Daniel while we wrap up our great emu war?
Yeah, honestly, I can't wait to get back to Australia. That one, travel more around.
It's nice up there though, now.
Yeah, I mean, again, spent a lot of time, but I spent some time in Cairns, or is it Cairns? Cairns? How do you pronounce it again?
Cairns.
Cairns.
As in like a Coke can. Cairns.
Yeah, and it always confused me because there's like I and R in there. So
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But no, that place is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. It was so beautiful.
It's pretty nice, though.
And I want to check out Melbourne. Yeah. There's another one.
You guys are welcome anytime.
Like, oh, Perth, on, right? Perth is nice.
Come on down.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling
you. He's with the hospitality patrol. You're going to take it away from all those damn kangaroos that want to stare at you while you're taking a shit. What kind of shit is that? Literally. Okay. All right, guys. This episode of our podcast, Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, was brought to you by BC Entertainment LLC, a subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. Shout out to Daniel, faster than you, our Australian captain here, with expertise in all kinds of things Australia. So if you guys have any questions, always email us at Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, or Let Me Take You Higher podcast at gmail.com, and we will forward them to Daniel and get your answers answered, or get your questions answered, rather. Gigi Luigi, for keeping the jokes rolling, as always. Remember, all rights reserved by BC Entertainment 2024. Until next time, guys, don't mess with emus.
Well done. I like well how you did like your seductive voice when you say it.
Yeah. You're right, kind of got something going on there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we love those emus. Anyway, guys, have a good rest of your day.
you too, man.
All right, so we're back with Daniel from Australia, and I'm going to ask him these 10 questions that are burning questions from around the world, of the 10 questions you always wanted to know and ask an Australian. So, Daniel, let's ask a few questions. This is from people everywhere. First question up is, why do you call it Arvo instead of afternoon?
Okay. G'day. Actually, you know, good to be here. Arvo. Yeah. Like we've got slang sayings, and it's normally an O or an E for anything. So okay. It could be the Savo, the Savi. Okay.
Savi.
I'll do this in the Arvo. Okay. That's just how we speak here.
So this is a real thing. I've never even heard of this.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's crazy. So, and this is just a linguistics that you guys have kind of altered over the course of centuries, or is this something new? Is it slang or what?
As long as I know, mate. As long as I, you know, white settlement's been here, I suppose, and English has been spoken here. It's developed. It's developed over time, but yeah, like we say, like, you know, do you want to come over the Savo instead of this afternoon?
So that's a very important question, because I never even knew that was a situation or even a thing. But now that you clear that up, we're happy about it. We're going to move on to part to number two. It says, what's the deal with Vegemite? It's basically salty tar, right? Isn't that what it is? Salty tar?
What it is, it's yeast extract. And okay. It's a tradition here. It's full of vitamin B. Okay, it's good stuff. We raise our kids on it, and I think when you look at the percentage of our population versus how many of us are represented in sport globally, I think it gives us the edge.
No, you guys. I'm not saying. Look, I had an Australian friend once in high school, and he wore the freaking hat. What is that hat called? It's very idyllic Australian hat.
A cobra.
Okay. He wore a cobra, and I didn't make fun of him, but I say, hey, where'd you get that hat from? You're not from Australia. And we almost came to fisticuffs. We almost fought.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah. He was pretty.
I think it's the equivalent of your Stetson.
Yeah. Texas. Yeah. The Stetson hat. Okay. I get you.
Yeah. Right. It's a country thing here. Yeah.
So back out in the, what do they call it? In the Outback.
Farmers wear them.
Farmers wear them. Okay. Cool. That was my own personal question.
Yeah.
So Vegemite is something it's got a lot of nutrients in it. It's very good for you. Okay. So now there's a terminology. Now I watched this from, you ever heard of Cheech and Chong?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So there's a movie a long time ago with Cheech and Chong in it. I believe it's called Another Shrimp on the Barbie.
Ah, right. Yeah.
What does Another Shrimp on the Barbie mean? We've never known.
Yeah, like I actually don't know myself, because like that saying, throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah.
That's not even a thing here, man. It's not really a thing. No, we call them prawns. Okay.
Prawns. Okay. I'm not messing with it, but I love it.
But I think, I think that might have come from some American visiting here once. I think, I don't know, maybe around the time of Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's a, they didn't, nobody even right. said anything about Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, like, you know, when Crocodile Dundee was really big, I think the Americans sort of tried to get in on Australianisms or how like the colloquial sort of slang stuff and throw it on the shrimp. That's a load of crap. We don't say that.
so that isn't even a thing in Australia.
No, nah, it's not even on the radar, bro.
And you guys don't measure each other's knives down there, do you? Well, I guess we won't touch that one for sure. But okay, cool. So here's another question. What's with all the deadly animals? Why do they all want to kill us over there in Australia?
Okay, I think because Australia is a continent, it's a huge island. I think over time that like the animals that come here when there was a land bridge stayed here, and they've had no natural predators. I think over time they've evolved and it's a harsh country. It's a pretty, pretty arid country. And I think that it's survival of the fittest.
And you were telling me earlier, you're saying that it's over 100 degrees right now in the wintertime, well, our winter or whatever you would call it.
It's about 95, 100 degrees here today. Like it's summertime here, mate.
Summertime is the craziest thing ever because
we're in the southern hemisphere, you know?
Well, I mean, I get it. I mean, I know math and geography or whatever, but it just seems so weird because we're like, oh, it's chilly. It's 45 degrees Fahrenheit, of course.
And you guys are
over 100 degrees out there.
It is weird. It's like when I come to the States, June or July? And it was I was in Vegas. It was so hot. And like here,
You went to Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas will kill you. That's like 120 degrees Fahrenheit on a Wednesday with no fucking air, no water. You're done.
Yeah, it was like 124 when I was there one day.
Fuck that life, bro. I was born in Vegas, just so everybody knows.
That's right.
So, I kind of know what you're talking about. What did you do in Vegas?
Oh, I went over there for work. I worked in the pool and spa industry for a while, and I went over there for a trade show. And I went over there in November 2006, and it was really cold. It was freezing. Okay. And I met someone, and I went back.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's a good story. Okay. Okay, so can I ask a question? Why are there so many goddamn spiders in Australia? Why are they all venomous? I fucking hate spiders.
I'm not a fan of arachnids either. I don't know. I can't really answer that question, but I know you don't want to dice with them. That's for sure. We've got some that are huge, like the huntsman, and you know they get really big. But I mean, the Sydney funnelwood is the one you want to watch, and redbacks. The redbacks here, they're kind of like your black widow.
Okay.
Like they're poisonous size. You don't.
Now you guys have, but those huntsmen, the huntsman spiders, they're jumpers, right? Like they'll jump and gangbang. Not gangbang. I don't know. It's not gangbanging. No, but you know, I slip of the tongue.
I've had them come after me.
They'll run after you, right?
Yeah, I've had that. When they're inside, actually, like I've had them on the wall and I'm like, yeah, great. And they're as big as your hand.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like they get big. And yeah, they're not poisonous, man. They're just big.
Oh, okay. But they just want to bite on you a little bit. Just nibble. Take a chunk out. That's it. I mean, they don't have to be poisonous to be fucking annoying. It's fucking be scary and shit.
It's scary. It's a thing we grow up with here, man.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Now, they have a question here. It says, is it true that no worries is your national motto? That's more Jamaican.
Yeah, I don't think so. She'll be right. She'll be right, mate. Right? That's what we know. So she'll be right, mate.
Okay.
She'll be right. Yeah, she'll be right,
mate. And that's like all throughout the whole of Australia, everybody says the same thing. You kind of know what everybody's saying when they're saying these things.
Yeah.
These colloquials.
Absolutely. I think like the West Coast is different from the East Coast, you know, obviously, like, but because they're so far away, like the distance is huge. I think from what I've been told, people who are on the East Coast where I live, we sound more ochre, how's it going, mate?
There's more bite to it.
Yeah, whereas the people on the West Coast speak more formally.
Yeah, this is all true, yeah. And then, okay, so Gigi's online too, and we're asking these questions. I'm going to wrap it up a little bit, but what does fair dinkum mean?
For real, genuine.
Okay. So that's a whole, okay.
Legit.
So it's like, oh, Okay, legit. Okay, well, okay, I get it.
It's legit. Like you say, then that's fair dinkum. That's the real stuff. That's legitimate. That's, you know, that's, there's no arguing with that. It's for real. It's okay, something, so, that's an older saying. Not many young people say, oh, fair dinkum, mate, but that's boomers. That's boomers of before.
Well, wait, you're not a boomer. Do you say that?
No, I'm a Generation X. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, we're all Xers on here. Well, Gigi's not an Xer. He's a millennial, but you know, can't win them all.
Hey, g'day, Gigi.
I'm an old soul.
He's an older soul. And it's funny because we have a lot of good stuff from Gigi when he used to live in Australia. Gigi, you used to live in Australia, right?
For about like 6 months, 6-7 months in Darwin.
Where did you live, man? Darwin.
Darwin. Oof. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, that's what I said.
It's pretty fucking hot up there. And if you live up there, like, you got to watch out for crocodiles. That's,
oh, hell yeah.
There's something we don't have to worry about here. I'm in Newcastle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. Darwin was cool. I mean, they had I forgot what it was called, like Crocodile Cove or something like that. I can't remember what it was called. It was like
Cove.
Yeah, you can go down in like into like a tank, like a glass tank, and they'll feed crocodiles and you get to watch it underwater and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Fuck.
Okay. I mean, all right. I like that. I don't know. Look, I'm the only person on this podcast today that's never been in Australia. I've heard about it, you know.
It's excellent. So, you should come.
Yeah, I should probably fly over it and look at all the spiders and crazy animals you guys have out there and keep driving.
I spent some time out in Cairns as well.
Oh, Cairns. Yeah. In Northern
Queensland. That place is beautiful. Oh, yeah. That place is beautiful.
Absolutely. That is a beautiful place.
Yep. No, yeah, for sure. You guys got waterfalls and the ocean and the Great Barrier Reef.
Miller Falls. Miller Falls is near there. You got the Atherton Tablelands and off the coast of Green Island. Yeah, that's a nice place. It's near it's off the coast. You got the Great Barrier Reef there. So that's
okay. Yeah. All right. So to wrap this up, because this is going to be our outro. Now, I know that you guys have an instrument called the didgeridoo.
Absolutely.
So what the hell is a didgeridoo?
It's a piece of wood, like a hollowed out log sort of thing. It's about 4 to 5 feet long. Normally it's done with, it's marked up with dots or the traditional sort of painting, depending on which nation is which nation is using it. I can't fucking play one.
I've also tried it. It's way harder than it should be.
Yeah. You got to use circular breathing to play it.
Okay.
And that's something I haven't mastered.
Circular breathing. Okay.
So breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like it's like a whole cylindrical situation. Okay. Okay. But that makes sense.
It sounds like an instrument that plays dubstep. Like the noise it makes is like a dubstep noise.
Like from the 80s. Like,
it makes excellent noises with it. It sounds unreal.
It's really cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. My last question for you, from everybody who wanted to know about Australians. So what's up with the fucking boomerang thing, dude? How does that fucking even work? And is that like a weapon?
It's an Aboriginal hunting device.
Okay.
Okay. They use it. They use it to hunt with. If you miss your target, it comes back. So you can use it to go again. you know we call a boomerang.
If you miss your target and it hits the target, who cares? You did what you had to do, right?
That's right. You know we call a boomerang that doesn't come back.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, thank you, Daniel, for giving us all the ins and outs of Australian isms and colloquials, if we say that correctly. And guys, Daniel is very, very big on charities, fundraisers, things to help the communities out there in Australia. And I'm going to let Daniel let us know about some of the things that he supports. So, Daniel, if you take it away from us, let us know some of the things that we can know about to help out there in Australia.
The main one is Grow a Star. Grow a Star is a charity for children. It helps children who are underprivileged or their families are struggling financially to put them through and supply them with stuff like soccer boots or, you know, stuff, ballet lessons, musical instruments, things of that nature to help develop their talents. This is for underprivileged children. And what it does is help them reach their dreams.
Awesome, man. I like that. And so... So they do all these things, and it's a charitable organization. Is there like an email or something that we can get to them, or we can just put that in our bio link?
Yeah, I think growastar.com.au.
Okay, .au. Okay, cool. Awesome. So guys, if you want to help out with these charities and give little kids a chance out there in Australia, that is the perfect place to do it. No one would know better than Daniel. He is from Australia. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Unfold.